Wolf, and Luke.
We could create a whole world in the mind of the listener simply by using sound effects.
Ron Wolfley. Luke Lipinski.
Huh.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Hour number two of the show as we speed ahead towards this Cardinals-Packers matchup. Wolf, did you see the quote from Mike Tomlin? This is how you dismiss USC rumors, okay?
Okay.
Remember when Urban Meyer dismissed these a few weeks ago, and he was like, what did he say, not a chance?
Yeah.
And I immediately went from, okay, 0% chance that he gets that job to like 30%. And each week it kind of goes up.
Yes.
This is Mike Tomlin. That's a joke to me. I've got one of the best jobs in all of professional sports. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? Never say never, but never. There's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
So wait a minute. This is a story about Mike Tomlin, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, becoming the head coach of USC?
His name was floated out there yesterday along with a few others.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. No, I just don't see that happening right now. I mean, you're talking about a living legend already in the fine state of Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh, indeed.
Do you know who floated that name out?
Who?
Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer was the one that started that.
What? Did you really?
Yes.
What?
Wow.
Come on.
Mike Tomlin.
Swear.
Okay, get Carson on.
Can he's not texting Carson me on? Back.
He's not texting you back?
No, you need your phone back so you can text him.
I was going to say, give me my phone and let me text him.
He's probably been texting you for 3 days, Wolf, being like, hey, I got big news here on Mike Tomlin.
I don't think so, Luke.
It actually doesn't lend a little more credibility to it that it's coming from Carson Palmer, but I just can't see Mike Tomlin. I mean, unless the Steelers fired him, but
yes.
As we've talked about on the show, Pittsburgh doesn't move on from head coaches. They wait it out, and Mike Tomlin's, I still think, I know Pittsburgh's only 3-3, one of the four or five best coaches in the NFL.
There's no doubt about it. Mike Tomlin is not going to be the head coach at USC.
No. Urban Meyer is, because he said he wasn't. All right, back to the Cardinals, and I do like the fact that this game is on Thursday night, so we don't have to wait for it.
Yeah,
it's just it's here. It's Thursday.
Okay, great. Yeah.
You're having an angry Tuesday over there.
No, honestly, it is. I feel angry today because it's a Friday. It's a Friday because we all know the games are typically played on Sunday. That's 2 days before. And all of a sudden, here it is. This is why I feel so upset today. Just not myself. A little ornery, dare I say. It's really Friday.
So if today is Friday, are you going to come in tomorrow, or are you going to be like,
yeah,
no,
I'm
no.
going to come in tomorrow. Okay. There's no all doubt. Right. Reality sets in from time to
tomorrow's
time.
Tomorrow's a reality Wednesday?
It really is. It's Take Tuesdays today, of course.
Yes.
Where's the party? Where is the party? When is that going to happen? Somebody tell me that. But in regard to this game right now, I cannot wait to see Kyler Murray and what happens with Kyler.
DJ Kyler!
Well, okay.
You asked for the party.
That was all right. Okay, there now all of a sudden. Grab your best girl, my brothers, and walk on onto the dance floor and put the hands up.
And they stay there.
Yeah, just kind of wave them right now. You look okay. This is how my older brother Craig dances with his arms up out on the dance floor.
Like
just
one of those
waving them above his head.
Inflatable car guys.
Like he just like he just don't care. Okay.
I like the idea that every time DJ Khaled comes into a room, he announces himself by yelling DJ Khaled. I need to start trying that.
That's so weird.
Yeah, now I'm lost. Look, to pay off the tease that we had going into the break, I understand every team if they lose, well, maybe not every team. A lot of teams, if they lose their starting quarterback, they're in trouble. But it's maybe to the most extreme with, I don't know, maybe three or four teams. The Cardinals are right at the top of the list. Because I would say this, Wolf, and I don't want, obviously, any injuries to the skill position players on the Cardinals.
No.
But they have so many skill position players. If they lost one for a few weeks, I think they could absorb it more than most teams.
I think you're right.
But if you lost Kyler Murray for any stretch of time, everybody else's value goes down. I mean, that's just, you have a lot more to lose when you're the 7-0 team and everything runs through your quarterback. And he has so many weapons and he's getting them all involved. So how do you keep him healthy?
Just listen to this right here. I want to read something to you. And this is from NFL Research, okay? Base and onions, gather around the transistor and press the ear. Kyler Murray is the fourth quarterback, since the 1970 merger to start and win each of his team's first seven games of a season and have a 70-plus completion percentage over those seven games. So he is the fourth quarterback where you won your first seven games to have a 70-plus completion percentage over the course of those seven games.
Okay.
You want to know who the other three quarterbacks were?
I'm guessing they're probably pretty good.
Tom Brady.
Decent.
Peyton Manning.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers.
That's fine.
I mean, you've got to be kidding me. That's the company that Kyler Murray is in right now. How important is it to protect Kyler Murray?
So those three quarterbacks you just read off, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, the three best quarterbacks of this century.
Yes.
I would say.
Yes.
With all due respect to who even else? Drew Brees?
Man.
Those are the three best. And he's in that company. You know what that says to me, Wolf, too, is you can go 5-0, 6-0, 7-0, and you can't do it with bad quarterback play, but we've seen teams in the past where it's like, oh, that team's 7-0, 6-0, whatever. Even Pittsburgh last year. Did anybody look at the Steelers when they were 11-0 and say it's all because of Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah.
I didn't say that last year. But what that says to me...
Let the Steelers be a warning to us all, though, right now when you bring that up. Let it be a warning to us all. This is the one reason why you got to continue to develop your offense and not become one-dimensional. Let the Pittsburgh Steelers be a warning to us all because they couldn't run the ball last year, and they were all, here we go, Big Ben, throw the ball all over the place, and look what happened. It eventually caught up to them. The same thing could be said for the Arizona Cardinals. Stay balanced. Don't fall into that trap. Stay balanced and run the ball.
Do you think your brother was doing the inflatable car guy dance last year when they were 11-0?
I don't know if he was doing it, but honestly, the next time that we're out on a dance floor together, which will be next summer,
of course.
Craig and I'm telling him, Luke said you were the inflatable car guy.
It's just fine. He's never met me, so I feel like I'm okay. Yeah, the Kyler thing, he's such a focal point of this team's start, more so than I would say a quarterback typically is. And then to even go one step beyond that, as long as he's healthy, I think this team is, you know what, top three, top four, even if they lose a guy, even if they lose a couple games. As long as Kyler Murray is healthy, I still consider this team one of the four or five best Super Bowl contenders in the NFL all season.
No, there's no doubt about that. The defense makes this team a Super Bowl contender because their offense is Super Bowl caliber already.
All right, we come back. We'll get back into the NFL, the story of Tom Brady finally getting that 600th touchdown pass football back. What a winding road that one was. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Arizona's Sports Station. Flat top, slicked back. Wolf and Luke.
All right, Wolf, do you know the story of the Tom Brady 600th passing touchdown ball that Mike Evans caught?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. Yeah, Mike Evans touchdown. Look, everybody, I scored a touchdown. Hey, there's a kid. He flipped it up to somebody in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even think it went to a kid. It went to somebody who's now making out pretty well with that. They gave the ball back. This is Tom Brady talking about the story of finally getting that ball back a couple days later.
Did you get the ball back?
Trying to get that. We got it back, so I got it back. Yeah. There was a lot of
Is the ball in Canton, or have you made it into an NFT? Talk about what the ball is.
it's shortly an NFT. You can autograph.io. You go there to bid on it. There's a lot of great things, auction items, memorabilia. And there's my boy Tim negotiating with Byron, who gave to me. Byron realized he lost all of his leverage once he gave the ball away. He should have held it and then seen as much leverage as possible.
Amateur move. Yeah. Yeah. So, if he would have held it, he would have been sitting in the Tom Brady suite for the rest of the season. But amateur move on his part.
Hey, I think it worked out pretty well. It just showed kind of what he got right there from it. But I'm also giving him a Bitcoin, which, I mean, that's pretty cool, too. So at the end of the day, I think he's still making out pretty well.
That's, of course, from the Peyton and Eli appearance, or Brady with Peyton and Eli on Monday Night Football last night, which, by the way, they had Marshawn Lynch. Did you get to see any of that?
No, I did not. I can only imagine, though. I love Sean.
He needs his own show. He needs his own channel that just keeps going constantly all day. So the story there is Mike Evans got the pass. He scored the touchdown. He ended up throwing it into the crowd. Byron Kennedy, who was sitting in the end zone, is the one who got the ball, ultimately gave it back. You heard Brady say right there, he kind of gave up all his leverage when he gave the ball back. But he got a lot. He got, two signed Brady jerseys, a helmet, another jersey autographed by Mike Evans. Evans, I'm sure Brady was like, hey, Mike, remember when you threw that historic football into the crowd? You're kicking in some autographed memorabilia here.
Man, I'm thinking, what a class act by Byron.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you're telling me he gave the ball back?
Yeah, he could have taken it and just ran.
What a... Oh, my goodness. What a class act by Byron Kennedy right now. Somebody's going to hire him and give him a job over this thing. You watch.
Is he got a Bitcoin, too. Do you have a lot of Bitcoins, Wolf? Are you big on Bitcoin?
No, I'm not right now.
Well, he got one Bitcoin.
Right, okay, he got one.
One.
Okay.
One Bitcoin.
I have no idea what to say about that. I really don't. But he also got two signed Brady jerseys, right?
Yeah.
He got a helmet.
Yep.
Another jersey autographed by Evans and Evans game-worn cleats, so he got that. And then it didn't stop there either. I mean, the team actually pitched in here. They gave him a pair of season tickets for the remainder of 2021.
Could be a Super Bowl in there.
All of 2022 season tickets. And they gave him a $1,000 credit to the official team store.
That'll get you a jersey, almost.
Woo! That's you know
quite
what,
the,
honestly.
Quite a bit, yeah. To just be standing in the end zone when Mike Evans comes by and throws the ball into the crowd.
You know, honestly, somebody who picked up a phone, I don't know if I'd give you that much, but I mean, I would have given you something.
That's okay, so what would Wolf have given?
All right, so start the reward now. Maybe it'll show back up.
I mean, maybe you get a little something.
What would you give them?
How would you like a Pro Bowl jersey? How about a Pro Bowl
jersey? That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, that's actually,
would that be? I mean, rare, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be rare. It's not like
you
there's a ton of...
You give up one of your Pro Bowl jerseys?
No. But I thought maybe it was for a fact.
You're
it sounded good.
Getting your phone back then when they show up with your phone and you're like holding on to the jersey as they try to take it.
What about a Ron Wolfley NFT?
What is the NFT again? What is that?
The non-fungible whatever, yeah. It's like a highlight. You can sell a highlight of yourself.
Oh boy, that would not be good. Forget about that, Rick. Thank you. Where are we going, though? What are we talking about here? What was it? It was
autograph show sheet.
The guy that Byron Kennedy. Mark my words on that, Luke. He's going to get a job out of this. Somebody's going to say, man, what a good dude. What a good guy.
Who hires good guys? Is it like a good guy company out there?
I mean, yeah. What? What do you mean? Who hires? Everybody hires. This company hires good
dudes. True. You think he's going to be working here on Wednesday?
You know, honestly, you want to work the board, Rick? You know, you'd show him, right? Byron Kennedy.
A lot of our listeners have tweeted the show and said one Bitcoin right now is worth $62,000.
Yeah, it is. It's jumped $18,000 in like 2 months.
Okay. That's really not funny.
So Wolf's not going to be giving out a Bitcoin for his phone, but maybe like just autograph something in the studio, that water bottle over there, an autographed Aquafina bottle.
Yeah, that's not going to go over well either right there. But honestly, it just that is so unbelievable that Mike Evans was not aware of what he did.
Can
you imagine how bad? Because he realized.
B.A. told him.
Yeah, he realized, and all of a sudden you could see the look on his face.
Can you imagine getting that blunt dose of reality from BA of all people who will gladly give you a blunt dose of reality?
Yes. What are you doing? Hey, baby.
That's Tom Brady's 600th ball over there. You just threw in the crowd.
Didn't even care.
Nope.
Just threw it in there.
Sticking with Hall of Fame great quarterbacks, Joe Flacco going to the New York Jets.
Where's Frank Caliendo? Where's Frankie when you need him?
He needs to be where he's probably on the Dave Pasch podcast right now.
Yeah, let's go, Frankie.
He's probably doing an impression of you on the Dave Pasch podcast.
Horrible, by the way.
Did you see Joe Flacco to the Jets? They really seem to have things under control there, don't they?
You know what, though? I love that, though. To me, Zach Wilson, he's all banged up right now. You've got another guy that you're going to, Mike White, you're going to run out there. He's going to start. Why not bring Joe Flacco in? Especially for Zach Wilson. The rest of the year, bring Joe Flacco in. This vet, what?
I just feel like that's his agent's pitch. Why not bring Joe Flacco in? What's he going to do?
No. I mean, here's a guy. Would you say Joe Flacco has been around?
Yes.
Has he done some things in the NFL?
He has.
Yeah.
He's won a Super Bowl.
Of course. Joe Flacco could be an excellent mentor to Zach Wilson.
What did you think of, you and I noticed this yesterday during the one of the breaks, they showed Zach Wilson already has the, he's one of the Jets captains already, wearing the C.
I hated that, as a matter of fact. I said it when I saw it on television. I was like, what are you, he's wearing the C? Who in the, what guy, what veteran in that locker room voted for Zach Wilson to be a team captain? What guy? I want to show me that guy. Who did that?
It does feel like a lot to put on the guy's plate when he's already being brought into New York, of all places, and being named the savior of that team. And, by the way, you got to play quarterback for a Jets team that has not been good in a very long time. And even when they were decent with Rex Ryan, it wasn't because of good quarterback play. So they've been starved for a great quarterback. And on top of all that, yeah, even in your first year, you're going to be a captain, too.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
Yeah, and not only that, too, their backup is also a rookie, Mike White. He's also a rookie. Think about that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that you got two young guys? Hey, let's give one of them a C. Let's do that. What have you done? You haven't done anything. Nobody voted for you, so it had to be some type of mandate from the coaching staff, from the ownership, somebody, from the general manager. Hey, we drafted this guy number one overall. Are you kidding me right now? Not number one overall.
They wish they were drafting number one overall.
Exactly. We made him our first round pick. He was number two.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Give him the C. That's a disgrace. It really is.
Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, Thursday Night Football brings some unique challenges, and we'll get into those next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Still undefeated.
Colt McCoy takes a knee. This one's over. The Cardinals are 7-0.
Things aren't slowing down yet.
This week, y'all know Thursday night games. All right, it's a team that handles the week. Unique week of preparation, the best. That's who wins the game.
I know what's in front of us. A short week against an undefeated opponent.
Kyler Murray.
It's going to be a quarterback run up the middle. At the 10, at the 5, Murray dives for the end zone. And he's in for the touchdown.
Versus Aaron Rodgers.
Looking. He dumps it off right side. Got his man in the end zone. Touchdown.
Ready or not.
Prime time. Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals, Packers. Thursday Night Football. Now.
Definitely an advantage to be the home team on Thursday night. But the flip side, Wolf, is that Aaron Rodgers has done this quite a few times before.
Yes.
You know, the Packers are more of a veteran team, I would say, than the Cardinals, considering their head coach is only in his third season. Their quarterback's only in his third season. How different is it? Would you say you are a creature of habit?
Yes.
You like routine?
Oh, my goodness, I really am. I like A to B, B to C, C to D. Thank you.
How different is it when you're playing on Thursday night?
It is so weird. 4 days after you play a game, you go out and you play on a Sunday, and then all of a sudden you're playing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. On that fourth day, you are actually out there playing. It is so weird. You don't feel prepared. You go out there, you have to be really, really intentional in everything that you do. And when I say that, it's about getting rest. It's about recovery. It's about doing your tape work and watching tape and studying the game plan. You have to be very, very intentional as to when you do that and how much you do that. And honestly, It's one of those weeks during the season that you forget you're a civilian.
Just gone.
Just gone.
Just in that room.
It's very, very difficult to be a dad during that week. It's very, very difficult to be a husband during that week. It's all about football when you've got 4 days to get ready to go play.
Well, this is Cliff Kingsbury talking about the challenges of, and he's been preparing for this game for, you know, longer than just since Sunday, certainly.
Really just not being able to execute the plays at the tempo that you'd like to and that you're accustomed to. It's mainly walk-through, jog-through type tempo. And so as a coach, you like to see it full speed. You like to see the timing. You like to see the spacing of it, and you don't get the best look at that, but everybody's going to deal with it. And you mentioned it. The main thing is the player's health and getting them recovered and rested and ready to roll again in such a short amount of time.
There it is right there. I mean, that's what it is. It's about just getting ready to play mentally. Physically, you can go out there. These guys are in such great shape. They can go out there and they can ball out. Are you still sore when Thursday comes rolling around? Yeah, a lot of times you are. A lot of times you still can feel the pain of Sunday, so to speak, the previous Sunday. There's no doubt about it, but it's more mental than it is anything else. You've got to get your mind ready to fire again on a Thursday night. Get yourself ready to ball out. And mentally, that's where you've got to be intentional.
Now, the flip side is if the Cardinals can win this game on Thursday night, you start the season 8-0. That's obviously the best start in franchise history, but to a certain extent, that's cool, but that's not winning you a Super Bowl. But what it does is it would have you undefeated at basically the halfway point, but then you'd have 10 days off before the San Francisco game. Then you've got, so you go San Francisco, Carolina, Seattle, and then a bye week in week 12. If you can get past Green Bay, it starts to spread out where you're basically playing Thursday's October 28th. You'll play three games in the entire month of November. Like, if you can just get past Green Bay, you're in a really good spot here.
Wow.
Even if you don't get past them.
Right there. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 7-1 right now is not going to be heartbreaking to anybody that is out there, but you know what? Honestly, I've got a good feeling about this. This is a weird feeling to have. Okay, I'm here. I'm admitting it. I'm not making any predictions. Do you understand that? I just have an excellent feeling about what is going on inside the Arizona Cardinals locker room. I can't deny it. I can't. They've already overcome a lot of adversity so far this season. And a lot of it was generated themselves. Just watching them go out and play against the Jacksonville Jaguars for almost three quarters before they turned it around and said, oh, wait a minute, we got to get going. But even that, is as disappointed as I was through three quarters against the Jacksonville Jaguars, the fact they were able to find the switch to fire and turn it on and go out and ball out and win that game going away, it says a lot. It does. Looking at the Texans and the fact they came out in that first quarter and they were not ready to play offensively. They were not ready to play. And they found the switch in the dark, their hands moving around. They found the reset button, the switch, fire. And they hit it. And suddenly, they scored 31 unanswered
31
points.
31 straight, yeah.
So, again, to me, I see that as good things. They're winning games in different ways, and now all of a sudden they have the opportunity to play a team that is an excellent team. They've already done it. They played the Tennessee Titans in week one. They went ahead and they played the Los Angeles Rams. Everybody was talking about the Rams and Matthew Stafford in their stadium. They went in there, they walked into SoFi and ripped the dog out of the Los Angeles Rams. And then they did it against the Browns. This team rises, has a tendency to rise to the occasion. And I expect them to go out and ball out on Thursday.
So let's just play this game. What's the narrative nationally if the Cardinals go out there? And I'm kind of with you. I mean, I think that they still feel like, I think they enjoy proving national experts and media wrong. I think they enjoy that, and they know it's a tremendous opportunity to do it. I think they win. The one thing is you can't keep it close late.
Yes.
I don't want Aaron Rodgers with the ball with a minute 37 left and a chance to win the game, because then all bets are off at that point. But let's say they win on Thursday night with the entire football world watching. There's no other games to watch. Well, I didn't see the Cardinals, so they must not be that good because I was watching Dallas. There's one game on Thursday night. So if the Cardinals win, is the narrative then just Tampa Bay has got a game against the Saints? Boy, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are unstoppable.
You know, honestly, it's a great question to ask, Luke, but I don't know how in the world you could watch Arizona Cardinals, especially if they throttle the Packers, like they throttled the Rams, like they throttled the Titans, like they throttled the Browns. If they go out and do that, if they win this game and they're 8-0 and they just beat the second hottest team in the National Football League, oh my goodness.
Do you think we'll actually see them on one of these TVs
we'll
on Friday?
I think we'll see it. You better believe it.
People might actually talk about it.
I think that is going to be a wake-up call to the rest of the nation.
Maybe it'll just simply be, are the Packers in trouble without Devontae Adams? That's what it'll be on Friday morning. Green Bay has lost one in a row. They were playing some team on Thursday night. We don't remember who, but they didn't have Devontae Adams.
There's no way that happens.
Coming up next, we'll get into the biggest topics of the day. Wolfing down your lunch a little bit early today. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Yeah, could I have a number 3 with cheese and a large coffee?
And does it smell good?
Wolfing down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolf and Luke.
Hey, boys. All right, a little bit earlier than usual because we got Jay Williams coming up at the top of the hour. It's time for Wolfing Down Your Lunch, serving up the day's top sports stories. And Erin Maloney is here to deliver, as she always does.
So the Packers have put Devontae Adams on the COVID-19 list ahead of their matchup with the Arizona Cardinals on Thursday Night Football. Here's ESPN's Dan Graziano.
The significance of not having him on their offense. Look, we've seen him miss a game or two here and there over the last couple of years. Just within the confines of this season and his importance to this team, he's probably as important as anybody in the league outside of Derrick Henry when you get to non-quarterbacks. So, yeah, I think it's going to be pretty tough for them. Against, by the way, a team that's absolutely rolling and you're going to need to score a lot of points to beat.
How crippling do you think this is for the Packers offense?
Well, I mean, we had the stat where they're 6-0 in their last six games without Devontae Adams, but but I don't want to completely undercut what Dan Graziano just said, especially what he said there at the end. I don't know how many of those games Green Bay was able to grind out a 20-17 win or something.
Sure.
Can't really do that against the Cardinals the way this Cardinals offense is playing. So if Devontae Adams isn't playing, that's a big deal.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Other than Aaron Rodgers, I would have to say Devontae Adams is the centerpiece to the Green Bay Packers offense, Ron Wolfley reporting. But I think they're going to try to run the ball a lot more in this game. Not only because they love to use the power of play action, but because the Arizona Cardinals have shown that they're vulnerable to teams that know how to run the ball. Now listen, I understand the two most important teams they played in terms of rushing the football, the Tennessee Titans and the Cleveland Browns, got shut down by the Arizona Cardinals defense. But having said that, Green Bay is one of those balanced teams that like to run the ball. I think they're really going to put an emphasis on that against the Cardinals come Thursday night.
But with their Thursday night matchup with the Packers looming, the Cardinals have to attack the short week. Here's Cliff Kingsbury discussing the challenges.
Really just not being able to execute the plays at the tempo that you'd like to and that you're accustomed to. It's mainly walk-through, jog-through type tempo. And so as a coach, you like to see it full speed. You like to see the timing. You like to see the spacing of it, and you don't get the best look at that. But everybody's going to deal with it. And you mentioned it. The main thing is the players' health and getting them recovered and rested and ready to roll again in such a short amount of time.
What do you think the Cardinals' biggest challenge is this week?
I just think, I mean, you're a skilled team. A lot of what the Cardinals do is based on timing and tempo and all that, and I mean Green Bay to a certain extent as well. I think the biggest challenge, he kind of said it there at the end, but he was talking about staying healthy going into this week. The biggest thing for me, Wolf, is come out of this game healthy, because you really turn the corner on the first half of the season.
Yeah, I honestly right now I think the Arizona Cardinals have a huge advantage playing in playing in State Farm Stadium because, again, even though Aaron Rodgers, I think, is really comfortable in State Farm Stadium, and that does matter, your environment, you get used to certain stadiums and really enjoy playing there. It's almost like the backdrop, you know, for a baseball stadium and some of the hitter's eye, so to speak. I think the same thing exists for a lot of quarterbacks, and Aaron Rodgers certainly has played well at State Farm Stadium. But having said that, the advantage of being home on a Thursday night cannot be measured with human hands.
The Seahawks have finished Week 7 an astonishing 5 games out of first place in the NFC West following their 13-10 loss to the Saints on Monday Night Football. Here's Pete Carroll.
You can see how hard it is. You know, I mean, all of these games, the Rams game, the Steelers in this one. I mean, you know, Russell's a factor. He's a fantastic positive factor and always has been. And I mean, those are exactly his time. That's his time. And that's when he shines. And so, you know, we miss him. And in the meantime, we're going to keep fighting and clawing and doing everything we can.
What are your thoughts on the NFC West right now?
Seattle desperately needs Russell Wilson back. They've got a game against Jacksonville this week, and then they have a bye week, and it's possible he comes back in Week 10. So I think the only way Seattle still has a chance this season is if they beat Jacksonville and then get Russell Wilson back in time for Week 10. But here's the thing, Wolf. Week 10, they're in Green Bay. Week 11, they play Arizona.
Man, I know. That is a rough proposition right there. There's no doubt about it. Listen, when you have your franchise quarterback, and that's exactly what Russell Wilson is, everything becomes easier. Team building is easier, and winning is easier when you have your franchise quarterback. When you don't have your franchise quarterback, oh my goodness, everything falls apart, or at least it feels like it's falling apart. Unless you're Nick Foles, of course, and he's your backup. It's just, honestly, trying to win games without your guy, without your franchise quarterback in the NFL, is a tough proposition.
Byron Kennedy is now something of a local legend in Tampa after this weekend, getting and then giving back the ball from Tom Brady's 600th career touchdown pass. The Buccaneers have already committed to giving him 2 signed jerseys and a signed helmet from Brady, a signed Mike Evans jersey, as well as the wide receiver's game cleats, plus a $1,000 credit to the Buccaneers store and season tickets for the remainder of the 2021 and all of 2022. In addition to that, Brady said he gave the fan a Bitcoin as well. Here's what Cliff Kingsbury said when he was on with Burns and Gambo yesterday and whether he would give the ball back.
If it's really worth $500,000, no.
No, that's what I said. No, you can't give that.
He's got plenty of money.
You can't give that ball back. I mean, Romo said maybe a date with Gazelle or something, but you're not just handing that ball back. Oh, okay, he wants the ball back. Here it is, right? You can't.
Yeah, no, not for $500,000.
What would you want?
Or he better, I mean, he better ante up like a Lamborghini or something.
Okay.
Well,
if
I mean,
Tom Brady came to you guys and said, "Hey, I want that ball."
The only thing is, I didn't realize it was being valued at $500,000. But I don't know who are you going to sell it to? Like, are you going to be able to sell it for $500,000? Tom Brady's the guy you could sell it to.
Well, there is such a thing as a black market that is out there
for football.
Can I tell you right now, I love the fact that Byron Kennedy gave that ball back without having to be coerced, correct?
That's a tough spot because you're always going to wonder the rest of your life, hey, could I have gotten more than a Bitcoin and a Mike Evans shoes?
Hey, you know what? That's my life. This is who I am. I think this is who I am is even more impressive than a Bitcoin.
Nah.
Sorry.
I'd want 2 Bitcoins.
Hey, the ball because, oh, it was Tom Brady's 600. Here you go. Because Byron, Mike Evans, I'm sorry. Byron Kennedy got the ball from Mike Evans. You know, Mike Evans didn't know what he was doing. He was trying to do something nice.
There he is right there, though. They're showing it on TV. Gave it right back. I'd want a Bitcoin for every Super Bowl Tom Brady has won and every future Super
Maybe
Bowl he
won. I think a Super Bowl ring from Brady.
That's true.
I mean,
he's
honestly,
got enough.
I think we ought to say, hey, Byron, nice job. Nice job, Byron Kennedy.
Well, you can't put a price on that. But if you could, it would be $500,000.
The 2021 World Series is set. The Astros will make their third Fall Classic appearance in 5 years as they'll take on the Braves. Game one is tonight at 5 o'clock. You can listen to all the coverage on ESPN 620 and Joined in Progress after Burns and Gambo right here on 98.7 FM. Here's Freddie Freeman.
This is what you dream about when you're a kid, you know, getting to the World Series. I think it hasn't completely hit me yet. When I walk out on that field and I see World Series painted onto that field, I think it's going to be pretty cool, pretty surreal. But right now, it's kind of a whirlwind because we're doing all the pregame stuff right now, so we haven't really settled yet.
Braves or Astros, who do you guys want to see win the World Series, and do you actually care about this matchup?
I do. I mean, the World Series, I'll pay close attention to the World Series, but I guess in terms of like Atlanta versus Houston, I don't really care that much who wins. Atlanta used to annoy me so much when I was a kid. The Braves used to annoy me so much, but now they don't. I don't care. I'd rather they won.
I'd love to see the Atlanta Braves actually win this World Series. I don't want to see the Astros win it. But I will tell you right now, Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, these guys, Dusty Baker, these guys, they've got to want this as badly as any professional athlete has wanted anything. Redemption draweth nigh, does it not?
The more you talk, the more I care, because I just don't want to hear about the Astros talking about how they overcame everything.
Which is why I want to see the Braves win.
You make a compelling argument, yes. And I agree with you. Braves.
The Arizona Coyotes dropped to 0-5-1 on the season following a 5-3 loss on the road last night to the undefeated Florida Panthers. Luke, what do the Coyotes need to do to get that first win? What needs to happen? You're our hockey guy.
Score more goals. They had 3 shots on goal in the first 30-ish minutes last night. They need to not play Florida, Tampa, or Washington, who are their next 3 games. And yeah, they're playing hard. They came back in that game last night. Actually made it a lot closer than it looked like it was going to be. But they need to get some offense going.
Goaltending matters.
Goaltending matters, and they had 3 guys get hurt last night too. So we'll see. I will say this though. We talk to Andre Tourney every week. He has that team playing. He has that team playing hard, and if he can keep that going all season, that's a good sign. Big picture as they look to rebuild. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk some Phoenix Suns, and we're going to probably talk a little bit of Arizona Cardinals, too. Maybe we can ask our next guest, actually, why Keyshawn has dug in his heels against the Cardinals, because our next guest does the show every day with Keyshawn. Jay Williams will join us. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.